It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is part two of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. So nice that we do it twice. We're presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast. Best odds, fast payouts, Madden code, ShipStation. It's that simple. ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone, type in Ross. Boom, you might win this week's Madden code. Evan is the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. His retweets are on point. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I am at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And we know how to deliver the content you need each and every week, just like Stamps.com knows how to deliver any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. There's no reason for anyone in the galaxy to ever go to the post office again. Stamps.com lets you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. You don't need to lease an expensive postage meter from the post office. Look, I use Stamps because I can't stay in the post office. Right now, you can too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in fantasy. That's Stamps.com. Enter fantasy. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again, ever. All right, Evan, let's start part two with the Arizona Cardinals, Drew Stanton, against Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners, although Jimmy Garoppolo not supposed to start. Any thoughts on Garoppolo, though, for the rest of the season as a pickup for people?
Yeah, no, I don't think you mess around with it. I mean, the 49ers have major pass protection problems right now. I don't know when Joe Staley is going to be back. That was a scary injury. I don't know. Have you seen anything? Is he supposed to return shortly? Or have you seen anything on that?
I have not heard anything on Staley's health status, no.
And then their right tackle, Trent Brown, has also missed time. Pierre Garçon, and he only played about half the snaps last week due to an injury. I don't know what his status is for this week. Marquise Goodwin, he's in playing through pain with a back injury. So the supporting cast right now is ugly on paper for no matter who is under center. And I think that puts the Cardinals defense in play this week. But yeah, I mean, Garoppolo doesn't have a great schedule late in the year. And then, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense is one of the toughest in the NFL to learn. I remember Matt Ryan, after his first season with Kyle Shanahan, he described the offense as too much. That was the quote that he used, that it was too complex and really struggled. Matt Ryan admitted that he was overwhelmed at times, and now Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to learn it in a matter of weeks. You know, Matt Ryan had all training camp, all preseason, all OTAs, and he still struggled in that first year. So, I mean, look, I think that the trade was a worthwhile one for the 49ers, but I wouldn't be very optimistic about it from a fantasy standpoint. You know, you want to see positive things come from Jimmy Garoppolo later in the year, but I don't even think we're going to see him play for a few weeks. I mean, the beat writers think that he may not play until week 12 after their bye, because they don't want to put him in unfavorable situations considering the state of their pass catcher and offensive line core. You know, Carlos Hyde is a volume-driven play. I think he's a good season-long play. I haven't used him in daily fantasy since that Thursday night game against the Rams, and I've been, you know, fine for that. And I don't really plan on using him against a good Cardinals run defense this week, although I don't think he's a terrible play by any means. C.J. Beathard, you know, is struggling in the conditions that we just described, unsurprisingly, and we don't know the health status right now of his top two receivers. Aldrick Robinson could potentially come into play if one of the 49ers starting wide receivers misses, and I think Aldrick Robinson is very underrated, but he could also end up drawing a bunch of Patrick Peterson, so kind of a tough situation there. Should talk about George Kittle. You know, he was a great story in the first 6 or 7 weeks, but they put him in a timeshare now, so he's not really going to be helping us probably anytime soon unless that he comes back out of the timeshare. But right now, no reason to believe that that will happen. Drew Stanton is a disaster. He's real, real bad. I hope that we get Blaine Gabbert at some point. I never thought I would say that I really, you know, hope that we could get Blaine Gabbert. But Blaine Gabbert, I think, gives this team a shot to have some, you know, some offensive success. I don't know. Maybe Drew Stanton will surprise us. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of Drew Stanton over the years, and it's not pretty. You know. The bottom just falls out on Larry Fitzgerald, who had an awesome first 7 games. And now he is, I mean, he's severely, severely downgraded. Same with John Brown and, you know, the rest of the guys. I think they're probably just going to try to put the ball in Adrian Peterson's belly as much as they can. And I think that that's their optimal way to play this week against the 49ers, who have been gashed in run defense and multiple games now, played pretty good run defense early in the year, but they're getting gashed now. They lost Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, that, you know, I think what he was the number 3 overall pick. He suffered an MCL injury last week. I don't know if he's going to play. So look, I mean, with Adrian Peterson, you have to understand that he is an old running back. He is probably not going to give you anything in the passing game. He is playing in an offense that is almost certain to be very low scoring, but he's also a guy that can potentially, if everything goes right, give us 20-plus touches this week. I'll be starting him in season-long leagues, and I'm going to definitely have some of him in daily fantasy as well.
Okay, let's move it on, and we'll get to the next game, which is the Redskins and the Seahawks. The only trade of note here is the Seahawks did add Dwayne Brown to play left tackle.
Yeah, nice trade for them. Russ is just out of his mind right now. I mean, no one. I mean, Deshaun Watson is certainly up there, but no one is playing like Russell Wilson right now. I mean, that game against the Texans, it just, you know, puts a smile on my face. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing game. Russ is nuts. He is, I mean, and it's, what's funny is that he's had these monster games, but he's also had a bunch of plays dropped. You know, the Seahawks, I mean, Luke Wilson dropped a long one last week. There was another touchdown nullified, and Thomas Rawls dropped a 1-yard touchdown last week. So they're not even really like maximizing their potential as a passing offense. They have nothing on the ground. I mean, every play is just buried as a running team. And maybe Dwayne Brown will eventually help that. But, I mean, it was negative 1 yard combined on 12 carries between Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy last week. So it's like a pass funnel offense, and Russell Wilson, he should continue to seek and destroy. He's been a top 5 fantasy quarterback 4 of his last 5 games now. And, you know, the Seahawks team has a tendency to like start season slow and kind of figure themselves out over the course of the season. I think that that's exactly what we're seeing. Paul Richardson is the better play between he and Tyler Lockett, although Tyler Lockett over the last 2 games has out-targeted Paul Richardson 15-9. So I think that both of these guys are playable in play against the Redskins. Now, the Redskins do have Josh Norman back, but he only plays on one side. And, you know, these are the types of receivers in Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson that I think can generally give, like, a bigger corner problems. I wouldn't say that they're reliable guys because they don't see big volume. But I think that, you know, for as long – I mean, it's crazy how much they are throwing the ball deep. This is their offense right now. It's just like bombs away. And it's a lot of fun to watch. I think that Doug Baldwin gets back on track this week. He has seen 8-plus targets in 5 of his last 6 games. He's 11th in the NFL in catches. He was not a big part of the onslaught last week. But he's playing well, and I think that he can win against Kendall Fuller, the Redskins slot corner. The Redskins have got torched by tight ends all season long. That bodes well for Jimmy Graham. The Redskins have given up the most yards in the league to tight ends, the 7th most catches. Jimmy Graham, another one of those guys that has left a lot of plays on the field, although he did not last week. I can't think of any mistakes that stood out for Jimmy Graham last week. But he has gone over 60 yards and or scored a touchdown now in 5 straight games. So despite having these moments where he will not fully execute, he has been outstanding in fantasy and consistent in fantasy. On the other side, have you seen anything on the Redskins' offensive line?
No, not as of yet. I mean, obviously we know they were without their center, right guard, and left tackle for the last game. I have not seen yet, though, what those guys' status is. I tend to doubt that they'd all be able to come back the next week if they missed last week, but we'll see.
Yeah. And the Trent Williams, of course, their left tackle, I don't know. That's a rough situation because apparently he needs surgery and he's just trying to like rest and rehab it so he can kind of like eke out some games eventually. I don't know. It's scary to go to Seattle, with your offensive line in a situation like this. I think that the Seahawks fantasy defense, which was very underowned last week, and wound up being great last week, is again in play against this Redskins offense that is likely to struggle in pass protection. Only 3 of 7 quarterbacks to face the Seahawks so far have finished in the top 20 on the week, and only 1 of 7 has finished in the top 12. So I think that Kirk Cousins – I think that, you know, we have to downgrade him here. I mean, in Seattle with a banged up offensive line, that's concerning. I would probably play Jacoby Brissett over Kirk Cousins this particular week. The Seahawks, by the way, have fixed their run defense. They struggled in the first three or four games, giving up a bunch of big run plays. Fixed now over their last 4 games. 3.0 flat yards per carry allowed to RBs, only 2 rushing touchdowns. Samaje Perine hasn't played an offensive snap in 2 games. Rob Kelly scored a touchdown last week, but he hasn't had double-digit touches in a game since week 2. Not going to go to Seattle and run on them. So I would expect it to, again, be the Chris Thompson show. Last week, Chris Thompson set season high in playing time, 80%, set a season high in pass routes run, 32%, set a season high in targets with 9. You know, he's never going to be a guy that the Redskins are giving a ton of carries to between the tackles, but he can be super productive because they get him in space and he's a very explosive player. And I think he can be a solid start this week. Jordan Reed is expected to be out, so I think that bodes well for Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder has had 9 and 6 catches in the two games where Jordan Reed has either not played or barely played this year. And then I think the matchups are good in the slot for Jamison Crowder against Seattle. He will face off a lot with what's that dude's name? I think it's Justin Johnson, I want to say, who kind of overtook Jeremy Lane, former Patriot player, got cut by the – it's Justin Coleman, cut by the Patriots. And I think that Jamison Crowder can win those battles. I like Vernon Davis here. Vernon Davis has been excellent whenever Jordan Reed has missed. Vernon Davis is just a very underrated player in general. He has monster big playability. He's still going strong at his old age. And never really fear the Seahawks from a tight end matchup standpoint. And it looks like they're going to be without Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas pulled up on that. I believe it was the DeAndre Hopkins long touchdown last week. And it looked like he yanked his hamstring, and he's going to miss some time. So, that is sort of some reason to believe in Kirk Cousins. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's impossible for Kirk Cousins to have a good game here, but I think that there is some reason for significant concern. But I do like Vernon Davis, do like Chris Thompson and Jamison Crowder, and then just kind of leaving the perimeter receivers alone. Terrell Pryor, Josh Doctson, Ryan Grant, not messing around with those guys. And we can move on to the next one.
KC Dallas, really looking forward to it. It appears as of Wednesday, 10:15 a.m., Zeke Elliott will not be playing. We'll see if appeal number 473 enables him to play again. We don't know. What do you got on this game?
Yeah, so we may as well just talk about the backfield situation right away. The Cowboys say that Alfred Morris will be their starter. I believe them. Alfred Morris has consistently outplayed Darren McFadden since the preseason. Alfred Morris has played well when he's been on the field this year. The Cowboys say that they like how he's improved a lot in pass protection. Guy's never going to catch passes, but they like how he's improved in pass protection. The Chiefs' run defense has collapsed. They played good run defense in the first two games. That has not been the case for their last six. So that is going to be a good matchup for Alfred Morris. I think he's a fantasy starter right away. The other guys I think will be mixed in, Darren McFadden and Rod Smith. Rod Smith, he has been active on game days due to his special teams value. He's a good player, man. In the preseason, they would line him up at receiver on some plays. He's a pretty big back. He actually has experience at fullback. He's just kind of a dude that is good at a lot of things, a lot of different things. He's not necessarily great at a lot of different things. But he's someone that I would look out for. He had 8 carries for 61 yards off the bench against the 49ers a couple of weeks ago. I think he can play. I mean, we'll see how that goes. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's their number two back on Sunday. This game, as you mentioned, is an awesome one. The biggest total on the week, huge for certain. I mean, huge for both teams. Certainly Dallas, I think that while Alfred Morris will have success in this game, I think that this offense now falls on the shoulder, falls on the shoulders of Dak Prescott, who has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 6 of his last 7 starts, and also faces I think that people see the Chiefs on the schedule, and they're like, oh, that's a good defense. Actually, on the road, the Chiefs have allowed 27 or more points to 6 of their last 7 opponents. They're 20th in pass defense DVOA. Does look like they're going to get back Tamba Hali this week, and he can certainly help their pass rush. But the Chiefs also play a lot of man coverage, and so they've given up the 5th most rushing yards to quarterbacks this year. And that obviously bodes well for Dak Prescott. In the receiver core, Dez Bryant. So Dez Bryant runs only 27% of his routes at left cornerbacks. That means he's going to be away from Marcus Peters' side of the field 73% of the time. Now, the Chiefs got back Steven Nelson, their slot corner, and they also benched Terrence Mitchell, who'd been really, really struggling, for Kenneth Acker. And those guys were able to kind of hold their own against the Broncos, although they did get a lot of help from Benny Fowler, who, I mean, just what a horrible, horrible game for Benny Fowler. But I think the Dez can have a big game against this Chiefs secondary. The rest of the pass catchers, with the exception of Jason Witten, who I think, he stepped forward as their number two pass option this year, and it's very clear. He's had some games where he really didn't do anything, but I think that in a high scoring game like this, he can do some things against the Chiefs. But the rest of the guys, I mean, Cole Beasley suffered a concussion last week. Bryce Butler, they refused to play. And Terrence Williams just isn't good. So none of those guys are fantasy options. On the other side, I think that Alex Smith can bounce back up against the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys, their pass defense has gotten better recently because they are getting a lot more pressure. Since David Irving came back, now they have two guys that can get after the quarterback, and David Irving and DeMarcus Lawrence. So it's not, the walkover matchup that the Cowboys posed early in the season. But I think that Alex Smith, the way that he plays, he can kind of escape the pass rush and kind of avoid it. And I think that he can have a good game. I mean, this game projects as a shootout. Travis Kelce should really rip it up. Kareem Hunt should get back on track. The Cowboys, their big weakness on defense right now is their run D. And Kareem Hunt hasn't scored a touchdown in 5 games. He's going to – I would expect him to very soon experience some positive touchdown regression. We've talked about Tyreek Hill on the road versus at home. And, I mean, somehow this keeps paying off. Again, I think it's just small sample variance, but he has been a top. So his finishes in terms of weekly finishes, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 17, wide receiver 14, wide receiver 3 on the road, and then wide receiver 45, wide receiver 51, wide receiver 43 and 57 at home. And now we get him at Jerry World in this game with a huge total. I see every reason to continue to bet on Tyreek Hill to, pay off with our home road narrative. I think that he's an awesome GPP play, tournament play in daily fantasy this week. And my sleeper for this game is DeMarcus Robinson. He has played 91%, 98%, 81% of the snaps over the last 3 games. Apparently, Albert Wilson got hurt in that Monday night game. So that would elevate DeMarcus Robinson's role. He's been a little quiet in some difficult matchups, but he did have a very good game in that Thursday night shootout against the Raiders, caught a bunch of balls. He's a guy that Greg Cosell, I remember, really liked coming out of college. So I think Matt Waldman really liked him coming out of college. I don't know. He's my sleeper. He's super, super cheap in daily fantasy this week. And we can move on to the next one.
Prime time. Let's get to the Raiders and the Dolphins. Let's start with the Dolphins. No Jay Ajayi. What does it mean?
I grabbed Kenyon Drake in a couple of leagues, but I'm not real optimistic about it. Maybe he'll surprise us, but I think that he's the lead back and then Damian Williams behind him. I mean, the Dolphins haven't had, Jay Ajayi wasn't really helping in fantasy. It's 0 touchdowns on the year. Their offensive line has been atrocious. I mean, get some guards, Miami. My goodness, man. Like, put some put some dudes who can block on your line. That just had not been happening. I don't know. Maybe they can try to use these other guys, because both of these guys are theoretically good pass catching backs. Maybe they can get these guys in space. But Kenyon Drake was the guy that I picked up. So we're supposed to get Devontae Parker back. The matchup is good for him. Jay Cutler is back. You know, it always scares me to play guys coming off significant multi-week injuries. But, you know, with six teams on bye, he, you know, I think he's a season-long starter. His return will somewhat impact Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry will face off in the slot against the Raiders. The Raiders have been shutting down slot receivers. I mean, Keenan Allen, Jamison Crowder. I have like a list. You could look at it in my Thursday matchups column, where I just list off all the slot receivers that the Raiders have shut down. That's a little concerning for Jarvis Landry. On the other side, so Derek Carr has continued to play. Like, I thought he had kind of maybe turned a corner in that Chiefs game, but he was disappointing in last week's game against the Bills. Now, he still finished as a top 14 fantasy quarterback, and he threw for over 300 yards, but that was disappointing. He was very tentative, dumping it off constantly. He wasn't challenging downfield, you know, and especially as the game progressed and the Raiders kept falling behind even more and more, he was not taking chances. And I don't know. He's not pulling the trigger right now. And that is concerning for Amari Cooper, et cetera. With that said, I mean, this is a great, great matchup for the entire passing game. The Dolphins' pass defense is atrocious. They're number 28 right now, I believe, in pass defense at Football Outsiders DVOA. They should produce. I like Jared Cook a lot. I think he's an every week fantasy starter at this point. Jared Cook has been only seven tight ends have more catches than Jared Cook. Only five have more yards. So he's to the point where you just start him every single week. Dolphins defense has allowed the third most catches to tight ends, fifth most fantasy points to the position. Marshawn Lynch is back. I feel like he's just a mascot at this point. He doesn't really get the ball very much. I don't know. Maybe he'll score a touchdown and help you, but all he does is, I mean, he comes back and he makes DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard rotating change of pace backs, and you know, just doesn't really help the offense very much. So that's where we are. We can move on to the Monday Nighter.
Monday night, Detroit and the Lions. Matthew Stafford lit up the Steelers, at least for yards, if not points, against the Green Bay Packers. Hundley coming off a bye.
Yeah. Hundley really struggled in that sort of rainy game against the Saints. I don't know. I mean, he is – I don't know what to think of him right now. He has this tendency to hold on to the ball too long in the pocket, sort of like DeShone Kizer. And that is that's concerning. He's got to, you know, speed up his process. And the Lions have a pretty good pass defense. So if Brett Hundley is going to get it done this week, it is going to be on the ground as a runner, I think. And that's always, you know, I mean, that's not necessarily – it's something that you would rather be supplementary or supplemental rather than something that you really are leaning on, you know, the foundation of what you do, in both fantasy and reality probably. You want your quarterback to be able to produce as a passer. And I don't know if Brett Hundley is capable of doing that right now. I think that he's just like a kind of a Hail Mary streamer. I actually am streaming him in one league, but not ideal. Not ideal. Aaron Jones should be the foundation of this Packers offense. right now and going forward. The Lions really defended Le'Veon Bell well on Sunday night, much better than I anticipated. After struggling in run defense for a pretty sustained stretch, but Aaron Jones, he's the focal point of this Packers offense now. I think 80% of the snaps to Ty Montgomery's 13% in that Saints game before the bye. Aaron Jones just ripped it up. He had 20 touches to Ty Montgomery's 5. and so I would expect the Packers to stick with him. I have Aaron Jones in a bunch of leagues, and he will be firing on all cylinders in all of those leagues, and I'm probably going to have some of him in DFS as well. The pass catcher core is a nightmare. I mean, again, I have a lot of Jordy Nelson, a little bit of Martellus Bennett. I just dropped Martellus Bennett. in that Saints game, I mean, Brett Hundley threw for 87 yards, and no Packers pass catcher got 20 yards. So, and now they're going up against a top 10 pass defense in terms of DVOA. So, definitely worrisome for all those guys that are in the Green Bay pass catcher core. On the other side, you're right, Matthew Stafford was the number 3 overall fantasy quarterback last week. Didn't even throw a touchdown pass, but threw for so many yards he finished very high in the rankings. And so the Packers have been like just very mediocre in both run defense and pass defense so far this year. But Stafford has strung together two top 10 fantasy games in a row. The pass catcher core should be healthier this week. Golden Tate was not a full-time player last week against the Steelers, but he was out there and he played about, I think, 60% of the snaps. He should be healthier this week. I think that Stafford is an okay, not great fantasy start. Same goes for Golden Tate. I would say that Golden Tate is a strong fantasy start this week. Marvin Jones will match up on the outside against Kevin King. Marvin Jones, he's been real inconsistent. You know, he's a solid player, but he's not like exceptional by any means. And he's another one of these fringe flex wide receiver 3/wide receiver 4 guys that we're always, you know, racking our brains to try to figure out whether or not we should start them. In the running game, Amir Abdullah, I thought, was very disappointing against the Steelers last week. His touches are down. He's losing touches again to Dwayne Washington. Theo Riddick, not helping anyone in fantasy. I don't know. I mean, this game would have been a lot more fun if we had Aaron Rodgers, but here we are, and this is not that fun of a game, man.
I love it, Evan. We are locked and loaded now with every game in the bank, which means we can right now look at the draft app on our phone and play in a real live snake draft that takes less than 5 minutes for week 9 with dropping the knowledge that Evan gave us and win money. Because you're 80% better chance to win money on the draft app than the salary cap sites. All you have to do to get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit is use the promo code FEAST. Again, you're playing a real money game for free just by using the promo code FEAST. Gets even better. They're so sure that you'll love it. They're offering Fantasy Feast listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST. That'll do it. Awesome stuff, part 1 and part 2, as always. We have Evan's thoughts on all the guys that got drafted, the implications for their former team, the implications for their new team. I love it. If you love this podcast, tell somebody about it. That's what they always say in life. If you love someone, tell them. Well, if you love this podcast, tell some people about it. The retweets are huge. Then the people that follow you on Twitter, they know that you love it, as is the likes on Facebook. really, really appreciate those of you that do that, like we do the iTunes rankings and comments. And if you like this podcast, I can pretty much guarantee you'll like the Even Money podcast, breaking down the games for gambling purposes with Steve Fezzik. We're both still very much in the black this year after a couple of down weeks. And, of course, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I mentioned earlier, I think, or maybe on part one, about the college draft. If you want to start to get a better feel for the stud draft prospects that will be coming out. Other than that, totally, totally stuffed. Great stuff, Evan. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.